Well, as everybody's here, we might as well start. So welcome everybody to the meeting of the Scrutiny Environment, Health and Wellbeing Committee on Thursday the 10th of November 2022. Move to item one on the agenda, receive apologies for absence. Andrea?
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Killoran.
Thank you very much. Item two, declarations of interest. Any councillor got a declaration to make? Nope. Thank you very much. Item three, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. Andrea? No? Well, because I haven't received any urgent business. Well, that's good. And item four, then, the public minutes of the meeting held on the 4th of October 2022. You'll have had a link to those minutes. I hope you've all been able to review them. Is there anybody who wishes to raise anything up about the contents of the minutes? Okay. Are we happy to accept those as correct? Do we need a second? Propose a second. Can I have a proposer, please? Thank you, Helen. And can I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Louis. Okay. Item five, homelessness review. We're well on the way to completing this review. I'll just hold you over to you, Mike, and just, you can just tell where we are, just in terms of what we're going to do next week and so on.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. So, members will have seen that we were looking to reach out to the local authorities across Staffordshire and some of our neighbours. We're still waiting for some responses for that, but the Chair and I will be looking at their documentation to compare the service that they offer with each of those Staffordshire authorities with what we've heard from Brett and what we've heard from others locally regarding our service that we provide here in East Staffordshire. We're going to compare and contrast that, and then from there take that forward to look at pulling the final report together. From that we will do a editorial session where I will go through the draft report and we'll go through paragraph by paragraph to get everybody to agree what's been written in the report before it's submitted to Cabinet, etc.
Thank you. So we propose to hold an extra meeting for that, which will be the 29th of November. I hope you can all make it. If you can't make it, the report will be circulated to you beforehand. So if you could please have a look at it, and then if you've got any queries, etc., if you could come back to Mike or I before the 29th of November, that would be very much appreciated. So that will be the final editorial session, and then we will actually officially sign it off for the following meeting on the 19th of December. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? Okay, thank you. Oh, yeah, we were wondering about doing it, whether you would like to do it by Zoom, actually, that meeting. Does that sound like music to some people's ears? Would everybody be happy to do that meeting by Zoom? Yeah? Yeah? So, in that case, everybody's happy with that, then that's what we'll do. Okay? Okay. So, if I move on to item six, then, which is the scrutiny review programme, that will mean that by the meeting in December, we'll have completed that. And we need to have a look at two further items. One is the White Ribbon programme and organisation, and the other one is the waste, which is carried forward from the previous session. What I intend to do is, at that 29th meeting, give you the scope for the White Ribbon, because I think that all we'll need is that one meeting to actually go through it and finalise. I don't think there's a huge volume of work which is involved in that, so that we can hopefully get that pretty quickly done and completed before Christmas, with the intention of starting in January on the waste review, which should probably take us at least another two or three sessions to do that, and it's going to be very close to the end of term there. But if anybody's got any other suggestions for items that they would like to include in the review, you'd be very welcome. I think my concern is that we haven't done anything particularly which is concerned with health, really, this time. I know with the homelessness review, health it comes into that as an integral part there, but we haven't actually done that. Yeah?
Yeah, Yes.
With obviously with winter approaching and and we know what's happening and what's probably going to get worse. We was in town this week and met up with Monica Holton, who chairs the Love Inspires Foundation. Mm. She was giving, well, donating coats. People could come along and just take a coat, really. And in less than 2 days, she'd give away 70 coats in the town. Now, she was telling me about Beat the Cold. They've got a new officer manager, I don't know what the title is, who runs this organisation, lives in Branston apparently.
Oh, really?
But with everything that happened with the telephone line that was set up, I know we've had them in before, but is it a good idea that we invite them in again to see exactly how, you know, things are going, you know, biting? Has there been an increase? Because the signs are out there that things are starting to get bad, and we've been lucky so far that we've had a relatively mild run into Christmas.
Definitely. Mm.
So that was just what I was thinking.
I think that's a really good suggestion, Paul, to be honest with you. I think that would be very worthwhile doing. So would we go through Monica to do that, do you think?
I can't remember how we did it before.
Have we? Yeah.
So, the
gentleman
came in, didn't he?
Yeah. Sorry, you would be in the chair as well, wouldn't you, Colin?
The correct time as well to do that sort of review.
Yes.
It would be after Christmas.
Yeah.
And they'll be able to start to see the impact then, won't they? Although obviously not the full impact.
No.
But thank you, Paul. I think that's a really good suggestion. And if anybody else has got anything else they'd like to suggest, please don't sit on your hands. Please come forward with it. Has anybody else got anything they'd like to say about scrutiny review? No, thank you. Oh, we'd like to welcome Councillor Atkins and Angie's McDonald's to our meeting today. And if you can sort of spare it between mouthfuls, perhaps you'd like to give us an update on the county situation, please.
Sorry about that. We've had two meetings in the last month, one on the 3rd of October and one on the 10th. It was about a week later. There was a bit of an overrun. And we've been having a report from the various NHS bodies. So there was quite a discussion on the 3rd about system pressures and a report of the Integrated Care Board. And then, I don't know why, but we spent quite a bit of time looking at the Integrated Care Board performance, which is really, I dispute whether that's our job, but hey-ho. And then there was an update on the social care performance, because they do very much feature together. And then there was the future of supported living services in Staffordshire, which was quite a lengthy report on where we were going, and a report from the Integrated Care Board on clinical policy alignment. So we had quite a bit of talk about at that particular meeting. For some reason we spent a lot of time on hearing aids up in North Staffordshire, because it was one of those vagaries that the Stoke-on-Trent North Staffs wouldn't provide free hearing aids. So there's a lot of work done by the chairman of the Health and Care Overview Committee, the previous chairman actually, or chairman, Madam Chairman. So there was Kath Perry and Jan Eagland, who had done an awful lot about that. The following meeting was another report from the Integrated Care Board on workforce and workforce planning with the Board of Health and Care. And we spent a bit of time on the opening report, which is about the monitoring and how that was talked about. And then there was a discussion about independent services down Tamworth for adults and older people with experience of their mental health illness or dementia with the closure of the George home. I think the highlights would be that there was confidence that the winter safeguarding programme and making sure things were there. I think they were a bit defensive in saying the press had made things sound worse than they actually were. They provided things were all right. It should be all right. But just bear with people. Don't overload the system. And just be sensible. So that's the little bit. There's those that are always going in and those that are reluctant to go to the doctor. There is always that. So if you say, please don't overload the system, what you have is people who ought to go in, don't. You know, so there's a little bit about that. So, I mean, all in all, the chairman at the moment has got quite a bee in his bonnet from time to time. We have these continual reports from the NHS, and it was interesting what you said, that we need to be looking at public health side as well. So we you know, when you get into social care, it'll be about places for adults, adult safeguarding, care homes and the like, but actually prevention and helping people not end up in a care home is probably more important to help the system than anything else. So I think just keep an eye on the integrated care board reports is the way forward. It is working, because that is the place where social care and clinical care comes together, and the NHS have recognised that social care needs more money than they're having. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how things pan out. As far as I understand, on the pay front, there's going to be a flat across the rates pay rise. So it doesn't matter whether you're on 200,000 or 20,000, you're going to get somewhere around £2,000. So that should help the social care staff in the care homes and everything else. That's the thought process behind it. I think that's all I've got to report, you know, unless you want absolute detail in, you know, Ockenden report and all the rest of it. You've probably read about that somewhere else. You know, there's lots of things going on. The reports from the districts and boroughs, I had to leave the meeting early to go to yet another meeting. So I don't know what's going on around the county, but I would imagine pretty much the same as what you're doing.
So really, prevention is the key strategy, isn't it, for the integrated care board? That's what their emphasis is.
Yeah.
My question is there enough emphasis on sort of my generation, actually? Because I think as the fact we've got the baby boomer generation, and nobody, I don't think, has actually put a strategy in place to cope with that. You know, they've all known about it. You know, we've all been here, we've all been getting older, and I haven't seen anything anywhere which actually recognises that is the strain that is being put on the system. And I think that's very disappointing.
Well, there's different things for different different generations. And also, I've sat listening and I thought a lot of it's around communication. Mm-hmm. And they got lots of, you know, we're doing this and we're communicating and we're talking with stakeholders. And I thought, well, you never see it. Well, we've got it in the surgeries. Well, you've got to be poorly to see it. It's the well people that don't see it. Well, so there's something around communication messages that we can help with.
With surgeries as well, how many people are actually, you know, despite the figures that you see from the NHS, how many people actually are going into surgeries at the moment? Certainly, from my experience, it's a sore thing. There are very few people going in. There's still an emphasis on telephone consultations, and it's only a sort of last measure that anybody goes into the surgery itself. So that's a no-no anyway, isn't it, really? Because you're not getting the volume of people going through there that you used to do.
No. Well, it's very difficult to get into my surgery. You know, there's a question of where do you get. Then there's youngsters, there's still the obesity problem with younger ages. There's a mental health, well-being, anxiety with young children who've been through lockdown. It's been a major part of their life. There's the older generation, there's some that are really frail and, you know, in trouble. There are others that need to just do regular checkups and jabs and all that sort of thing. And then there's 40-50-year-olds, don't write them off, you know, they're into the cardiac stuff and everything else, you know. So there's a range of issues that people should be aware of. But then, just anecdotally, we've been telling people, you know, dial 111, go to your pharmacist and all the rest of it. So the pharmacists are now under pressure.
Yeah.
So there's and one thing they said was at one of the meetings was money, throwing more money at it is not the answer. It's got to be a system change, which is where the integrated care board comes in. So, you know, I think that's, you know, there's a little bit about thinking this meeting about how the borough can help, and it's not so much probably as getting into doctor's surgeries and all that. It's more about activities. You know, there's lots of football pitches, and are those healthy walking, people doing walks, encouraged to do that sort of thing in the towns and villages? You know, there's a lot of people out there walking still, but those are the sorts of things to keep them all healthy and active. But the mental health and well-being stuff, a lot of it is about, I've just done a first aid course for mental health and well-being. And a lot of it is, particularly for the older people, you know, they get on their own, they get anxious, and then it's a downward spiral into, and you can track people into, I'm worried about my parents, or whatever. They get, you know, it's quite... I'm actually quite surprised how many people I've come across with anxiety problems lately.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I've got to report, Madam Chairman.
Okay, are there any questions?
Hope not. Oh, Carly. There's always one.
Is mine not here? Just getting on the fit and healthy side, I can just say that Park Run at Utoxeton is up and running, so that's a good, a great sign. We do have some in Derbyshire as well, of course. You didn't really mention anything about sort of the possible strikes. Has that been discussed at all?
No.
Okay.
That wasn't discussed.
Well,
they're coming back again
just happened,
in December, I think, to discuss the outcomes of the poll and the ballot room, and tell us how that may or may not affect the hospitals. By the sounds of it, it won't affect A&E or people in hospital. It's the outpatients.
The ones that are sort of, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
the queues again, isn't it? The queues that are going to be affected.
Yeah. And you know when the the clinical commissioning groups come in and so on, are they still using Zoom? Are they not still coming into the actual meeting?
No, they don't. It's all on the screen.
Okay.
The social care, they come.
All right, okay, that's...
So there are some occasionally people come, but one of the NHS people wants, but most of them are on the screen. And then again, over to Donna.
I know exactly.
Over to Andrew.
You're
just sitting there and thinking...
Genuinely, you just don't get that, you know... Seeing people face to face. Thank you, anyway.
Yes, thank you, Chair. If I remember right, the last time he was in was probably June, and I'd zoomed in, and I think myself and Councillor Wildman asked questions regarding what happened to the scrutiny review group. Findings or figures that we were asking for around around doctors' surgeries, and also I think we've asked many times for them the death rates in Inverurton during COVID, because I think that was also one of those review groups about how COVID affected the poorer parts of Burton. Has that information ever been established? If not, why not?
Not as I'm aware of, and I don't know why. It will be somewhere.
I seem to remember sort of you suggesting that you didn't want this body talking about such things. It went over to Stafford, which I didn't quite understand that, because, you know, after the comments of your colleague from Newcastle regarding the cost of living crisis, I'm not quite sure some of my residents I feel would be covered over in Stafford with a thought process like that. Some of the issues as well, surely you must be asking them when they come in regarding the GPs, the hospitals, and recruitment is one of the biggest ways that you're going to resolve these problems, because they haven't got enough staff anywhere. Paying conditions is another one. And I think the strikes around Burton, certainly regarding the Burton and Derby hospitals, I don't think they balloted as such, because it was trust by trust. But I'm not certain on that one. But then that doesn't mean to say these other the paramedics aren't going to come into that, and other groups of workers. But I think certainly the nurses worked.
So what you're asking, if I'm right, Councillor Walker, is that we have those figures, that we find some way of obtaining those figures.
Yes, I mean, it's certainly not the first time, and it's way past 12 months since we've been asking for these figures. Way past 12 months.
Okay.
And all we seem to do, I mean, review groups were set up, they seem to have been parked because we weren't allowed to talk about them, but now they've just disappeared over to Stafford and probably never seen them again.
I think one of the problems with the PPGs being disbanded is that it's all been absorbed into this integrated care board. It's like a nervous mass. Whereas with the PPG, you did actually have more local accountability and responsibility. I don't know whether you agree with me, but that's one of the problems I think with the PPGs having been disbanded. And that is a real concern to me, that we're not going to get that level of inquiry, if you like, there. You know, we can't invite our local PPG. I know it was always difficult to get hold of them, but you know, we can't invite them in. So where do we go? I think that's the question we need to find out, isn't it, really, to get more localised information. We'll have a look at that and see what we can do about that.
Yeah, I've just downloaded from ONS the 2020 mortality report. Every ward in the
So where are you looking at that, please?
That's on the kind of, I'll tell you, if you go on the RNS.gov.uk and then people's population, community, birth, deaths, marriages, deaths, data sets, death register. And it will tell you whatever you want to do. But, you know, I did one task for all the stuff when I was leaving, and I wish I'd had a hand because they sent me so much data about who died, what, where, and when. It's all there, but it's a mountain. And it comes out to raw data.
No. Councillor Beach?
Thank you. I don't disagree that there isn't an issue. People are experiencing issues accessing GP services, but we as a borough council can't directly intervene on that when we're not the health authority. And something Councillor Atkins said regarding it's about educating people, neither are we the education authority. However, I'd like to ask Councillor Atkins what sort of programmes or ideas that they've got in place in terms of education, because I think we have a problem in children, but we also have a problem in the parents of those children, and going forward into the older generations, those parents will become the older generation and those children will become the adults, etc., etc. So where do we go from here? And then,
it's a public health responsibility, and there are numerous things that have come out from the county council from time to time, so they've been pointing you in the direction of how to stop smoking, how to keep fit and well.
It's too late though. If you've started smoking, you're too late.
No, I've been doing it for years. The problem is that it's all right having it on the county council's website. It's where do people actually take notice of it?
When I was at primary school,
absolutely,
which was going to bring me on to my next point. But the point I'm making is, when I was at primary school, we had a nurse come in and talk to us as kids, as 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, and it's just a piece of information. But I feel like perhaps you've got more links or more contacts that you'd be able to drop that in as a.
Can't we
strive towards prevention rather than cure?
Some nurses is one for the NHS, and they do go in, but then, you know, that's for the NHS to fund that service. You know, it is a public health service. There's a major issue about, so they give the county council public health, and they didn't give us the money. So if you look at the money per head, places like Sandor are far more than we have, because it's taken that people know what we're doing. They don't need to be told. Whereas they might do in other places. So, and then what money we do have is targeted quite heavily to where there are issues, like Burton, like Cameron, Middle Stafford, Edges of Stone.
So what initiatives have you got in place in those areas?
Those are the public health with through the integrated care board. So it disappears then into the NHS. I don't know what we've got, to be honest. You know, there will be, and then schools are not all run by the county.
I was just going to say that, actually.
You can't go in into an accounting and say, you know, they might tell you to stop.
Yeah. Are they not? Surely academies are still covered with a curriculum. There's got to be some standard of education there. But they have to present their curriculum before they're allowed to teach it. Do they not?
Well, I was going to say in schools they do a lot of public health, social and emotional sessions.
Yeah.
So the schools do take on a lot of that. It's just wondering what input we can have as a sort of health scrutiny.
So this
is where you're trying to get what we have got, an ability to prize information, to bring people in, when it's sort of almost taken off our hands a little bit with county do. I'm very much, what can we as a committee actually validly,
there was a scheme called Health Schools, which is over 120 20 stools in Rotherham, so there are 7 bits of programmes that they could choose from at the moment. There's all sorts of things, eating activities, being friends, all that. And then a skills capability is one of the first things to disappear. I mean, there are 3 schools in Staffordshire that are still in the healthy skills programme. There's probably about 130 out of the 304 before, you know. So there are programmes that they can get into, but they choose not to because they don't want
them. Can I follow up with my point that I was going to make?
Yeah.
So you're asking about ideas in terms of a health orientated scrutiny review. Can we look into what we've got going on, when it runs, how often, who accesses it, how many people access it, where is it advertised, what else can we do, what else can we add?
So are you asking about public health education, is that what you're saying?
The combination of the two. So didn't we have you'll have to forgive me, I get all muddled up with who does what and what does who. Didn't we have something going on at the leisure centres over the summer holidays?
Mm-hmm. There's schemes every year, aren't there? Different schemes every year.
Why haven't we got an ongoing scheme that has massive pushes? Grown-ups typically start the gym in January. Why haven't we got one for Christmas holidays? Something absolutely massive. You know, you don't need to cook for 20 if you're only feeding 5. It saves money, it's better for your health. You know, simple things like a little cooking class for kids to cook a Christmas dinner. And how much food would you need? And
so are you asking then that we interrogate the leisure centres?
What I'm saying is that's our responsibility,
isn't it?
So it should be through there.
That's where we actually...
We've got loads of open spaces and we've got loads of public spaces where surely in theory we could reach out to charity groups, schools, holiday clubs, and say, look, we've got a space, we're asking you how you would do it, how can we do it?
And that's actually where the Burton Albion Community Trust come in and play a very big part. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that actually, Patricia, that we do work with third sector partners for that, and I think what you're suggesting is what are we doing as a council to support health?
And healthy living, that
would be beyond the leisure centres. You'd look at parks and open spaces, look at what we do with the horticultural centre, we're getting people active through gardening. It's quite a wide scope because you could argue absolutely everything that we do is linked to health, even from our officers littering fines for littering and flight up, and they improve the environment, which we know will improve people's mental health if their streets are safe and clean. So I think the idea of it is right. Maybe we just need to narrow that down to define the scope, but it does sound like a future scope in paper.
Yeah, I think that's really
like, yeah. Obviously it's big, but somewhere in there there's something we're missing, surely.
Well, if we could narrow it down so we've got a specific area rather than just trying to fight the whole. I think that would be useful. Councillor Walker?
Yeah, just a couple of points. Certainly regarding the ONS and the data, what I'm asking for is specific fees, and I'm not sure whether they're in there or whether they're broken down in there. But it's debt-related, it's COVID-related debts, and certainly within the more deprived areas, which I'll think of his name now, I should, because he's got the MBE. He accepted the poor housing conditions as a contributing factor towards COVID, which we highlighted at the beginning of the pandemic. And after that, we still haven't received the figures from across Burton. Yes, I do accept that some of the things fall under the county agreement, but it still doesn't stop us bringing, and this is what frustrates me when these things disappear over. Surely we have a duty to the residents, to electives, to bring these people in. And that's what we are. We're a scrutiny committee. We can ask questions, we can scrutinise to find out what is going on so we can go back and tell things actually happening, rather than saying, well, it's nothing to do with us. It is something to do with us, because we are the people, or the voices of the people out there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, take that. If you think about what we get every week, we get the COVID numbers, don't we?
Yes.
So if we get the COVID numbers, the logic would say that that source would also be able to provide the COVID deaths. So that might be a way that we can investigate that, because that would be much more directed. Might just be the whole of East Africa, not perhaps broken down by ward, but then we could see if that did actually lead to that as well. I think that's a way of pursuing to try and get some accurate numbers.
I mean, during the pandemic, or the height of the pandemic, sorry, still here. When we normally Zoom call some of us with the captive, they were suggested that those figures were there.
Right.
But it's actually driving those figures away from. That's for cooking, yes, brilliant. I mean, perhaps the county can give cooking lessons for the 2,000 slow cookers they're about to give away in each application, so that might be a good idea. And some recipe bowls and things to go with.
That's a bit more to worry.
You're giving them away, we're not.
Yeah, we'll do the recipe cards.
Can I just add that there is a Facebook group which with slow cooker recipes, which I've suddenly discovered this week. So we can perhaps point people in that direction. I'm not saying that's the be all and end all, but that is there. And that is obviously something, that is a source that a lot of people will look at anyway, you know. As I say, just something I've discovered this week, because I'm trying to use my slow cooker for the first time for a while, I have to say. Yeah, Councillor Wellman.
Thanks, Chair. I think just building on, it's Paul. Look, I'm calling whatever.
Yeah.
Building on Paul's point, I think we've got to be very careful, because even on the news, towards the end of the height of COVID, they were saying that a lot of people maybe that didn't have, they had COVID, they got COVID, but actually they had underlying circumstances, but they were still classed as they died of COVID. So we've got to be careful regarding that, because look, some people had cancer, for goodness sake, they got COVID and there was marked down as dying of COVID. You know, so I think we've got to watch what we're doing regarding that. We have to put that caveat anyway on that.
Well, we haven't got that ability to break those.
No, absolutely. No, I agree.
I know what you're saying, but that is our problem, isn't it? That we haven't got that.
Yeah.
Can I ask a
pre-COVID with the GPs,
not the patient group, is it? Sorry.
And they openly said that they are starting to see people presenting their surgeries with bronchial type conditions due to poor housing. And they said that in this room, and that was pre-pandemic. Now, going through the second wave of COVID hit areas like Eton and Woolsey and Shoreham very, very hard, and that's where the majority of poor houses are. So you ask me what it shows and what we could do with it. To me, it shows that these places have not been funded very well through the year. course of that, we could target funding to start to work with these areas
but
to try and bring them back or bring them to a standard that where they should be.
Play devil's advocate. Would that rule later, in my head, or what I see is, somewhere like Anglesey, you've got a population of, all part of the Newport, has got a fraction of the population. Surely population density is going to skew your numbers, because you've got, you're looking at a bigger pool before you start it. So you need a percentage calculation to work out the percentage of the population per ward for it to show you anything of relevance compared to any other ward would say less four housing stock or three housing stock, for example. But surely four housing stock and population density go hand in hand typically, because the houses are closer together, people are living closer together, they're more likely to spread infections between one another because they are in closer proximity than the nearest neighbour being half a mile down the road. I'm just asking where you sort of see that going with the figures when we've got figures.
It does find that actually, because the phases are only parts of the story. Yeah, and the other part of that story is exactly what you just said. Sorry, Chair.
I'll carry on.
It is the other part of the story. It is the density, it is the overcrowding in the houses that does it, but it's also the damp conditions within those houses where this poor drainage outside, they're not insulated very well, so that's the type of thing that you could do with them. We know for a fact that these high death rates in the second wave across Burden. So that's it. It's the installation programmes where you can go with it. Yeah, and bringing that house and stuff up to a better standard. So if this thing ever happens again, then you probably wouldn't see that large effect.
Well, that's one of the reasons, isn't it, that we introduced a selective licensing scheme, which has actually been, I think, successful. I don't think it goes far enough. I think it needs to go a lot further. I think it needs to come out of the area that it's in. But it certainly has been successful in improving housing stock. But that's only the first step. I would completely, you know, agree with that. A lot more needs to be done. But a lot of those areas, I think you'd agree, it's private landlords there. It's not so much the Trent and Dove or the other housing association stocks.
Sort of damp conditions. I know this is a complete tangent, but if you go to a country house, an old country house, it's brick to brick, so single glazed, half of them are listed, you can't even put up a glaze in. They're damp as open, they're freezing all the time.
Welcome to Mayfield.
And you live by a big water, so you breathe salt.
Well, then I guess they're not those refrigerators, and they've got better food, and they've got better stuff, and they've got better
health. Hence, I'm asking. Regarding, is it like a percentage calculation? If you get those figures, I feel like I'd be doing myself a disservice if I didn't say, well, unless you can present them as a percentage calculation of population to households, per household, and then per number of houses, how many households you're talking about, it wouldn't show me anything in terms of data, information wise.
Mike?
Yeah, there's already data out there that would suggest that living in some of our more deprived wards reduces your life expectancy through joint strategic needs assessment. I think when listening to what you're asking for, Paul, I think it's more about understanding those housing conditions that we've got within the inner Burton wards and what is it that is really affecting people. It's not so much the COVID deaths, but housing conditions that you're concerned about. And how we can address them, probably not as a borough council, but as a collective, because that's a big issue for the borough, and not just when I say the borough, I don't mean the borough council, the area. It's a big
issue for society, isn't it? But if we're talking about reports, you get back to the Marmot report quite clearly shows poor housing stock is a contributing factor to COVID. Quite clearly shows that. I know Marshall's work was really well. I used to play football there at junior school. So I've never sort of, yeah, it's not a nice place. But, yeah, regardless, we know it is odd in these areas. You can't get away from that fact. So that's predominantly what it's there for, is to try and uplift these areas.
Okay, just on that, maybe there is a scope then to look at the impact of the Marmot Review from 2011, and there was also the Black Report in 1981, to consider what impact that's had in East Staffordshire in those 11 years, and what could be done going forward.
Yeah, I think that's what we started to try and do under Colin's tenure, that then that disappeared off into East Stafford.
I think if you took the Marmot Review as a starting point, though, Paul, you might be able to. We might be able to formulate a county and a borough approach, that these are some of the things that we need to look at. I can remember we did a total play strategy 10, 11, 12 years ago with teenage pregnancy, where we then piggybacked onto something called the Family Nurse Partnership, which is help young mothers at the very early stage to improve their outcomes. Mm. That was a direct result of the Marmot Review and what we could do locally. So it might be... he's done two. He's done one most recently, and he did one in 2011. But that either of those reviews we could use as a kind of a placeholder to say, this is what Marmot is saying. Are there things that we as a borough council could commission, we could suggest the county to commission, or the partners that are delivering within East Staffordshire should be considering?
So it's proactive, not reactive.
Yeah. I think housing is the key bit, just as pleasure and exercise is the key bit, and it's how you make it in for the other bit parts of the defensive. So it was for a while, you know, GPs prescribing time at the gym.
Well, that's where we get social prescribing now, isn't it?
We do social prescribing at the Horticultural Centre. Feel Good Fridays.
Paul?
You've got to understand these things, the big proactives.
Yes, I agree.
That it's not being able to understand the truth. We've tried to do it, but we've stopped. We still, but now it looks like we're sort of trying to get started again, which is good. You know, and I quite agree. There's no point sort of being reactive, but you know, we've got to look forward.
I think you touched on it when you said training is not the problem, it's the private landlords. And there's also those that bought the council house and they've never done anything since. You know, and I think you've got some area. A lot of people don't know where to go. Most of my, about a fair part of my time as a county councillor is spent telling people you need to go and fill this form in at this website, and they come back to me, and I'll not. You know, it's because it's just, and there's, you know, I can remember the first community fund that the county council had, Elston and Major, because they were in an objective 5B area, and we used to bid in for.
In money, they were all over me bidding for grants for cricket, first responders, walls, all sorts of things. Whereas other areas like Abbots Bromley Centre, there's a charity. I'm not going to be going for that. You know, and so there's, you know, some people are really good at it. And others are really rubbish, and you probably find the ones that aren't very good at it are actually the ones that need the money. Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Can I just
ask you? Yeah. Yes,
please. It's not so long ago they had a real issue with the housing stock themselves down to housing, which I think it was Councillor Shrive that led a campaign to get this. This result, so they're not at the outfield, and it's a change of management. What's his name, Gormley? I can't think of his first name, but since he's come in, they've looked at it and they're uplifting their houses and they're doing a tremendous job now, and they ought to be congratulated for But I agree that the selective licensing hasn't gone far enough, because there's areas now where we're getting real concerns about what's going on with tennis, but they're falling outside of that area.
Mm. I think we're all aware of that, and we'd all like to extend it as far as we can. But, yeah, because... Yeah.
Just maybe you could...
Just in case that helps. The tax on the tenants, obviously I'm a homeowner on Victoria Street, so there's never much... We do all the selective licensing to look at the tenants, but we also need to be helping the homeowners, and because they get left out of the loop a lot. You know, and obviously I've got insulation, I've done all that, but I would just wonder how many homeowners who are struggling and are left out of it, where we need to bear them in mind. So that's the thing we're finding with things like energy help and things, that, you know, there are things available for homeowners, but there's a lot more focus on landlords and tenants, and I wonder if that is part of the problem. Certainly a lot of people I know around me in the street are homeowners, not tenants, but they still have a problem. So yeah, it's looking at that side as well and helping the homeowners with financially stretched.
I agree with that, because it's all I've seen some of these extreme levels, not the areas like Victoria Street, there's an awful lot of homeowners still there, so it's not all tenants.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
I can remember going around Newcastle on the line looking at the houses that's been bought, and some of them in atrocious state. They bought, you know, it was right to buy, but no insulation.
Well, we've got a few avenues that we've got to look at there that we're definitely going to have to follow up. I just hope that we have time in the new year to really do something effective on this. Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody, for your contribution. Councillor Atkins, thank you very much for attending.
I've got a parish council.
Yes, I know.
There's always a hint in the neighbourhood
of this. I used to live there.
Yeah.
I used to live there. That's where I got divorced. Right, thanks, Philip. Thank you for coming. Thanks for answering our questions. Thank you. Right, so we'll move on to. Oh. Okay, we'll move on to item 8, which is the public executive decision records, which are enclosure 2 and the zip file. Has anybody got any comments to make on those? There didn't seem to me to be anything controversial, and those are all quite straightforward. So if everybody's happy with those, we'll move on to item 9. We haven't received any questions. So the date of the next meeting is 29th of November, but we're going to have one in 15th of December as well. We now have to move on to the private part of the meeting. So I move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting.